It's where it's at the cross. Amen. At the cross, I surrender my life. It reminds us, and it just hit me, and we had this on Thursday. So many things on Thursday parallel into this Sunday. Isn't that amazing how God does those things? But we had that, and they sang, I think it was I Surrender All. Didn't we do that? And so it's like, all to Jesus, I surrender. And this is coming when we just got done singing this off of this slide. All to Him. And it's like, when we do that with our all, it's like we surrender our all to Him. Amen? So it says, all to Jesus, I surrender all to Him, I freely give. He freely gave His life for us. Can't we not give our lives freely to Him? I will ever love and trust in His presence, daily live. And the chorus says, I surrender all, I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender it all. And then it gets into that second stanza, all to Jesus, I surrender. Humbling at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures once had a hold on all of us, didn't it? And it could possibly still do it if we don't watch it. Amen? But worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me now. All to Jesus. All to Jesus. I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly Thine. I want to be Yours, Lord. Amen? Let me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that Thou art mine. Lord, we pray that for the Holy Spirit to touch our hearts here today, to let us know, Lord, that You're ours and we're Yours and we're together in this whole journey. Amen. And then all to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. But then it goes to our part where we surrender all. When Your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to You. You know, when I was putting this together and I came to this song, I had put this one in a few days back into the queue thing that I have. And so when I went to put the date of 7/30/2023 for the music, I put that in there, and then I looked at my log, and I had like two dates of 7/30. When I started looking at other songs to put in, I didn't realize I had forgot that I had put 7/30 already in there, July the 30th, with this was already in there. And it was just a powerful thing when at the cross, I surrendered my life, because the message of today is, it's about the cross. The things that we do in service to Him, it's all about the cross. Because where did it begin with us? We first had to go to the cross, a Calvary, where He died centuries ago. But just for Tim, in whatever year that could have been, in 1994 or whatever, the date and the times that, you know, there's a few times that I went and I been a few times back to the cross because life got in there. And I didn't know if I was serious the first three or four times. How about you? Now, when we did that first time and I received that, it was just one of those things that I just wanted to, as I got a better understanding of Him and clarity as I got into His Word, I thought to myself, maybe I wasn't under the right thought process when I went to the cross that first time. I took it as, oh, yeah, who doesn't want to be saved? You know, save me, yeah. You know, it's like out in the pool. You know, who doesn't want to be saved if you're sinking? Throw me a life raft or a life preserver. We get back on the side of the pool or the shore, and we go on with life. And it sometimes is not until we get back into that water again that we go, wow, I need to be saved. Well, I was saved. But so we go through, I think, and I think God is okay with us multiple times of asking for salvation and finally getting it what? Settled in your heart that this is the one. Thank God that He had the patience that He allowed me to continue to come back to the cross. For at the cross, there was something still pulling me there, and I still wanted to say that salvation prayer again. just to solidify it even more. But now time has passed, and I don't go to the cross for salvation, but I go back to the cross for washed sins. Anybody have revisit the cross a few times since salvation? Because of the blood of Christ still washes the sins away of today that we sometimes fall into, a lot of times on our own ways of doing things, or lack of doing things, or lack of this, or too much of whatever. But that same forgiveness is there. And that's what is so powerful about the cross. It's because that blood that ran down it over 2,000 years ago, the blood that came upon his brow and face, the blood that was on his back from the beatings that by his stripes were healed, all of those things are still relevant, and the power back then is the power of what? Today. But for it to be the power of today, we have got to recall those things of the past, those things of the old, to bring them back up so that we never lose sight of them, right? I mean, life is pretty easy to get involved, and we get busy, and we forget about this, and we forget about that. And sometimes we lose the very basic of what Christianity or being Christ-like was or is, and why we were already there because of the cross. You know, we are benefited, and we've said this before about the salvations, our healings and things of the blessings of the Lord, but the cross was there to bring us back to God. We got strayed out there by that of sin. And God says, I've got a way that I will send who? My son Jesus, to live through this life, to go through torment, to feel the pain, to feel rejection, to know what it feels like, that all that we go through in the human flesh, so that he too can understand when I go to God and say, God, I'm hurting. Guess what? God can say, I know what hurt is. God, I'm going through this, I'm going through that. God knows those things because God came like that of Jesus, amen? God in the flesh. And so it says in his word where, you know, he can sympathize, he can understand these times when we go crying to him with the hurts and the pain and the toil and the frustration, the anger even of things that take place in our life. But it's the cross is where it all began. And we got to keep our focus upon that. We don't want to lose sight of that. We want to take in the cross and then also take in what? All the other benefactors of the cross. And so just briefly and just a few scriptures here, and we'll just kind of see where it's at. But when I listened and re-listened to this chorus or the song just over and over the last yesterday, several times last night, you know, it's like I just turned everything off, and just before I went to bed, it's just like I just turned it on my little phone, went to Spotify thing there, and I just played this thing, you know, and just in the dark, just listening to the words. And it's like there's such a power in the cross. But I think that's why the enemy would like for us to kind of forget the cross. Because then if we forget the cross, we can sometimes maybe forget the power that was represented in that cross and what was accomplished upon the cross, because we get so wrapped into our problems, our world, our situations, our jobs, our family, our hobbies, or whatever the case might be. It's all whatever it is for all of us to get involved in, amen? But it's to always go back and think about that cross. You know, we have it before the people. Remember the cross. What is that cross? You know, keep it before us. People wear it around their neck and things of that nature. Sometimes people in the world, you might ask sometimes, oh, I see you're wearing the cross. That is, what does that mean to you? I remember we had a lady in our church many times. We'd go on outreach. And it was one thing that she may notice, and she would just begin a conversation. And wherever it led, it led. But a lot of times, she would notice that, and she just, in a very sweet way, says, what does that cross represent to you? I imagine sometimes it was like, that's a piece of jewelry. You know, I was given it by somebody, you know, whatever. And others had a realization of, well, it means this to me. So, there's, you know, we want to make sure our focus upon the cross is there for the right purpose and the right. says this in 1 Corinthians, is one of the areas. I guess before I get there, Galatians, Paul was sharing in Galatians 6:14, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." But here it is, Paul is saying, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross." When I can boast before you about my life and my times with God, it's because of the cross. Amen? And so as we look at Paul as an example, we look also, I think before I go into this here, let me... 2:20 in Galatians says that, I have been crucified with Christ. Guess what? It's no longer I live, no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me at the cross. At the cross. Amen. That's the thing. This is very probably basic understanding of our walk with Christ and our salvation and going to the cross. But again, I think many times we don't speak enough to it. It's almost like certain things that are very basic in God's Word, even though it's so basic, guess what? We have got to continually bring it up to keep it before us. Because if we don't keep it before us, other things cloud around it. Amen? And we lose sight of it. Let us not lose sight of that. And I love how in 2:20, where it talks about that I have been crucified with Christ. Now we, as we serve him, as we receive him, you know, we talk about as they've crucified Christ, they're going to crucify us. They're, you know, you become a child of God. Guess what? You end up putting, I guess, like maybe a bullseye, not just on your back, but on your front, everywhere around you. People will look at that and see that. But it says that I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer that I live. And that's our whole thing, too. We've got to realize once we have become crucified with Christ, once we went to for the message of the cross, is that now there's a change in me. It's not I who live, but who? Christ lives in me. Christ lives, I hope, in my actions. Christ lives where I'm going, what I'm doing. I want to represent him to the best of my ability with him living in me, being that of Christ's likeness. It's no longer I live, but Christ lives in me, still in Galatians 2:20. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. Here again, faith. It's a big word in the Bible, faith. We need to come to him by faith, live in faith, trust by faith, believe in your healing by faith, believe in your abundance by faith, all of these things by faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He died for you. He took the place on the cross for all of us. And it's through that death and his resurrection and where he is at now that we too live an abundant life. Amen? We can have abundant life. When it talks about, you know, in verse 2:20 there in Galatians, I've been crucified with Christ, we're looking at that where the believer is united by faith to Christ in his death, has died to the old life and has risen to a new life. And there's some things you can look at Romans and in that, but it's like we have been buried. And that's where, you know, we talk about water baptisms of one of the ordinances and things that we would do as a church. It's not by sprinkling, it's by what? It's full immersion. And it's just an example, it's an outward sign of what? An inward change that we have become new. Yeah, but it's showing the world around us, like, why did you get buried under the water and come back? Well, because Jesus did, so I want to follow his ways of doing things. But the purpose of that is to, it's an outward expression of our faith and where we have now had an inward change of our heart. The inward man, you know, we've been born again, a new creation. These things have changed within us. And so it's just a representation. Guess what? Water baptism doesn't save you. You might, some people out there might be very surprised at that. That sometimes they got this thought process that, well, I want to just get right with God, so would you baptize me and, you know, dunk me or sprinkle me or whatever? And it's like, that ain't going to do it. You got to let them know that it's through that of what? Jesus Christ. through him and only him by receiving him in your heart, asking for forgiveness, repenting of your sins, inviting him in and say, be Lord of my life. Amen. So here we are. That's a little bit of Galatians and where we're looking at, but just this whole message of what the cross is about, that it's no longer I live, but him. So now if we really jump into 1 Corinthians 1:18, we'll just stop there, and there's a few areas we'll jump around within, I think, this area. But the crux of it in 1 Corinthians 1:18, my heading above it says, Christ, the power and wisdom of God. Woo! The power and wisdom of God in who? Christ. God became flesh, came down to this earth, and he had the power and he had the wisdom of that of God. But even Jesus says, I don't say or do except what the Father tells or shows me. But anyway, verse 18, for the message of the cross is what? To those around us, foolishness. One day earlier before you received salvation, probably, the cross might have been foolish to you too. We might have looked at it thinking, well, how could that be so powerful? What's the big thing, you know? Oh, the cross, that's nice. It's a piece of jewelry, you know? That's what churches have in the front of it. It's just some kind of an emblem, a representation. It's like a signage thing, you know? But the cross. Now, when we look at this for the message, that message word could be for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are doing what? Perishing. They're sinking. They're drowning. They just don't realize it. Now, Heather, could you turn back that one slide? Did you guys see that, or did we flip through it too fast? Put it up there. The power of the cross. This guy is out in the water, right? What do you see there? It says in the bottom there, caption out of 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. When we have a relationship, not with the cross, but we have a relationship with what the cross represents, the cross is what it does and what it has done for us and what Jesus did upon the cross, it is the power of God. But here's a guy, that's like a lot of us, that's the world out there. You're crazy, I don't see how that can save you. Well, the cross, just holding on to it, it's not salvation, we know that, but it's what the cross represents. At the cross, remember that? At the cross, where it says, I surrendered my life, where your love ran red and my sin washed white. I owe it all to you, Jesus. There is a place where sin and shame are powerless, at that cross, where shame and sin have no power. The power of the cross. The message of the cross. Amen. Where my heart has peace with God. And we've had forgiveness. Where all the love I've ever found comes down like that of a flood. It comes flowing down from that of the cross. Here, where in the cross, here my hope is found. Here on holy ground, I bow down before that of the cross. My arms are open wide. You've saved my life. Here I bow down. The message of the cross. So here's the world out there, and many of us at one time just kind of floundering in the sea. And there's a guy standing, and it's like the periscope, like that of on a submarine. But he's hanging on, you know. He's standing on that, the power of the cross. But the world will look at you, you're crazy. I don't see how that can save you. When we look at this here, when it says, the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. The cross is foolishness. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, it's right there, just a page over in my Bible. But it says this, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord, talks about a rebirth. Fleshly, we were not reborn. Because of sin, our spirit man was dead to the things of God and what God's message was. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Spirit comes upon us. And our spirit within us becomes, that makes us that new creation. the Spirit in us is beginning to wake up to the things of God and His kingdom. And probably the interesting thing about that, as I just now think about that, is as I became awakened to the things of God by that of the Spirit in me, the working in me, leading me, guiding me, I also became a little bit more in tune to see what this world was really about. Because when our spirit man is dead in us and we're not perceiving things in this world, we just think this world is just like, that's the way it goes. That's just the way it is. Why are you so worried about this? Why are you so concerned about that? This is just life. But when we receive Jesus Christ and our spirit within us becomes awakened to the things and not only of God, we, on the other flip side of that, become more aware of the things in this world that we thought was, oh, that's normal, to that is abnormal, and that's against the things of God and what God speaks against. But the natural man does not receive these things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Which means that to understand God, you have to discern them how? By the Spirit. By the Spirit. Can you see why the enemy does such a overtime in many of our churches and people's good lives about just don't talk about the Spirit a whole lot. Don't bring up the Holy Spirit a whole lot. Don't touch upon that. Don't just, because we don't really understand it, we don't want to deal with it, so that way we don't have to explain it. You know, if something happens within the Holy Spirit here and I don't understand it, I don't need to explain it. It's God. God's a big God. He'll explain it when the time is right. But it's why we talked earlier, the things that we come into these things is by what? Faith. 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 Even though I don't understand it, even though I don't comprehend it totally at that time, I trust my God. Do you trust your God? As we in our leadership and churches and what God has put out here to spread His word, once we lose that trust that God has a handle on all of His churches and we've got to control it, then the enemy gets in there and the enemy begins to control it and we think we're controlling it, but it's really we are the puppet of the enemy. And the enemy would love us to say, well, if you can't explain it in, you know, three sentences, don't allow anything crazy to happen in your services because that could be of the devil. Little do they know that when we shut down the Spirit, the devil has already got control of the service. So the very thing that, and they start out probably in a good way, but man can corrupt things and we get so far off base at times from what we think we're doing, the right thing, that it turns out to be the wrong thing. So many of it probably started out, but I think it goes back to the faith of trusting that even here at our church, that whatever takes place is prayed up. I know some women in the church that pray for the services. We pray for God's Spirit to be here. We pray for God to show up and to do what He wants to do in the lives of the people here. And He doesn't need to run it by me first. It's God. This is His place. I'm honored just to stand here. I'm honored to just open up His Word and read it for what it is, to say the natural man does not understand these things. You're not receiving these things because it's only being discerned by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit in us, God's Spirit in us. So, anyway, that's why it is so important, because these things are foolish, because the things that we decipher from God are spiritually discerned. As we read His Word, the Spirit of God, that's why, even as simple as like this song going over and over, when I just, it's not per se Scripture, but there's Scripture. There's things there that in that song lead me to Scripture to know that love ran red, that my sin is forgiven, that all of these things, it takes me back into God's Word to where it goes to that of my faith in God, to where I can stand and speak forth His Word. And some of them will say, well, I don't understand it. I could try to explain it, but if they're spiritually not discerning of it, it'll go in one ear and out the other, or it will not make sense to them, and they will say, that is crazy. Yeah. For you that don't understand it, for you that not have been enlightened by it, and do we or any of us in this room know everything about God and all the things of God's word and what it truly is going to mean and do in our lives? No. But we walk it out by faith. We walk it out by reading his word and not saying, well, because I don't understand this, I don't want to deal with it. It's like, I don't understand this, God. Would you explain it to me? How many people have had that happen? Where you go, God, I'm trying to comprehend this. And it just is not going into these two, between these two ears. My head is, but then a lot of times he says, well, don't try to intellectually understand it, just by that of spiritual, and allow me to open it up. And then a lot of it ends, now just trust me. Trust me. But now you got to be cautious, because the enemy would love to speak into your spirit. The enemy is a spirit. He will like to speak into your spirit. So that's why we need to have discerning spirits, so that we know which spirit is the spirit that we're hearing, right? It's pretty high-tech stuff. He is telling us that my children hear my voice. They hear my still, small voice. My spirit will guide them. My spirit will speak to them. But also, and I started looking at this past week, and I've shared one other time, but I started looking at some scriptures too, and maybe we'll dig into that, because there's another important thing. When we're talking about the Spirit and God and things of that nature, we've got to be on guard, we've got to be watching, we've got to be paying attention, because the light that comes in could be that of Lucifer, because he was the angel of light, and he can mirror the things of light and light. That's why it is so imperative and so important for us to realize what the whole totality of God's word is, and what we find from that of the cross and what was accomplished there, and just about anything that sometimes we want to not spend a whole lot of time on, that's the areas that we need to spend time on, because that keeps us tuned up. Amen? But you've got to be spiritually discerning the things of God, and that's what 1 Corinthians. Now, when we talk about this, people fall into three spiritual categories that clearly show or how the revelations of the cross by the Spirit is received. And I've shared this before, but it's the natural man is unregenerated and devoid of the Spirit. Has no appreciation for the gospel. There's the people out on the street. They don't have appreciation for this, man. You go out there, you carry a Bible, you go out and sit down and read a Bible, they look at you like you're one of those waggy people. This is the best book to be reading out there. You know? Because it gives me support. It gives me help. It gives me attention. It gives me awareness. The spiritual man, regenerated and possessing spiritual maturity, as seen in freedom from sectarian strife, has a nature that responds to the truth, and unbelievers find him difficult to understand. Okay, the carnal man regenerates, but living much like an unregenerated is a believer with a childish way. So there's ways of looking at how we become that of spiritual and the things of growing in God. Amen? So as we look at it, there's the natural man, the spiritual man, the carnal man. We got to figure out where we fit in those things. Natural man is unregenerated, devoid of the Spirit. Spiritual man, regenerated, possessing some spiritual maturity, but has a nature to respond to the truth, and unbelievers find him difficult to understand. The carnal man, regenerated, but living much like an unregenerated person. Amen. Yeah, it's something where we got to continually, daily. Let's see, another area here. Says 1 Corinthians 15:2. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and which you stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed is vain, or believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I have also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and that he rose again that third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Peter and the 12. After that, he had been seen by over 500 brethren at once. So he's going on and he's retelling what the resurrection of Christ, amen? But we've got to recall and remember back to that of the cross. Thank you, Lord. So, I'm going to get past this. So, if this is shortened, we will shorten it with that of just remember that for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us that are being saved, it's the power of God. And so as we walk out our daily walk, like Denny was saying, we got to remember these things. And we got to remember where our power comes from and that it's there for us. I know we look at things like, well, we always think like, well, God, why did you leave me? God has never left us. It's usually we've left him. We had some, you know, times in Sunday school back there sharing about Proverbs and all, but how we do things, and then we ask God, like, well, what's going on? And God says, well, I didn't tell you to do that, or I didn't say that's what you should have done. If we would just stay hooked up to him and be with him and allow him by the Spirit to keep speaking to us, then we will continually be walking generally in the way that he wants us to walk. And it's not to say that we won't have struggles or situations, but I would rather have him on that path with me when I hit that situation so that he can be there and take care of it for me rather than me being on a path by myself and then I'm calling out for God. Oh, God! You know, help me. But as we can remain with him and call it as a day-by-day type walk and journey, and that's what he wants with us. It's not just a Sunday come to meeting. It's a walk of daily living the cross, daily living with him, and allowing him to have more and more of your day, more and more of your time. It's not that he will take it and not give you other times, because you will find that your times will be more blessed. You will find that you have more time to get things accomplished. Times that we try to reach out on our own and do these things, we end up probably frustrating ourselves to where if we would just kind of take a step back and just remember where we're at and who we are with that of Christ, and where we are at and who we are with Christ, with that of God, it's because that initial step way back when I received salvation, and the salvation that had come from that of the cross on Calvary. And so always keep that before you. Don't get fixated on it, that that's all that it is. See, when we get into God's Word, we got to have the, we talked about it sometimes, you hear about it, that's why they call it the full gospel. It's not just a partial gospel, this particular gospel, this one facet of the gospel. It's the full gospel of God's Word, so that it will minister to us where we're at. It will lead us to where we need to go. It'll give us the strength to persevere. It will give us the joy. It'll bring us comfort. It'll give us peace, you know. If you begin to look at all these things that the Word of God does and gives us, it's like as we read the Word of God, by that of the Holy Spirit with us and in us and around us, it's like we are right there in the presence of Jesus, in the presence of God, and where there is, you know, just a peace and a tranquility. And just something that you cannot explain upon this earth of what it is like. Try to explain it to somebody outside that, and they think, what? Foolishness. But it's because they don't have that discerning spirit. Amen? So, with that said, let's have a closing prayer. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.